Amen. Morning, everyone. Amen. It's good to be here with you again in this capacity. Good to see everyone. I want to thank the worship team. Y'all did a great job this morning, okay? Well, we have a great worship team, don't we? You always get you in the mood. Stir up the soil. Get ready for the seed. I want to thank Michelle for coming and singing this morning. I missed that. You did a, don't you? Yeah. I thank you for it personally. And everybody that had a part in worship this morning, thank you. Thank you for it. It was, stirred my heart up. It really did me good. I'm glad to be here today. That's capacity. Yep. Y'all know when we was together last time, we was on the other side of the flood. Remember? Well, we're here. We made it over to this side of the flood. Yes. And we were doing what? What did we declare we were going to stick to?
The plan.
Stick to the plan. Because this is God's idea, correct? It's God's idea. God brought this up. Yeah, you know, we've seen how God was faithful through the Old Testament. We see how the faith of three men, actually, brought the message from Adam all the way over to this side of the flood. Very intact. And now on this side of the flood, God's plan is still going on. God still wants his people that want him to be their God. And what we're trying to do all this time is trying to show you all the meticulous things that God went through to make this happen. You see the love that God had for all of us in revealing his plan and what he went through to let us know. He didn't leave us like servants or like slaves. He said, I have made my plans known to you. And he have done it through the word here. You know, it's amazing how so many people look at this Bible and say it's just a book. And they really think, how in the world can someone do all of these things, have this kind of power in a book? Well, see, the problem is they don't know Jesus, see? When you get to know God, you know he can do anything with anything, and he can do it well. That covered a span of time, you know. And the word today is living. He said it thousands of years ago, but it's no more pertinent than he is right here today. Amen. That's the power of his word. Yes. It's the power of the God that we are worshiping and that we are getting to know. Okay? On this side of the flood, God began with a very serious young man. And his name was Abram at the time. His name was Abram, but God would eventually change his name to Abraham, right? God would eventually would prophesy over Abraham. It would say he would be the father of many nations and that the whole world would be blessed through him and his seed. Now, brothers and sisters, we're going to show you through the word how God is really doing something right through this young man and right on down through the years, okay? Let's look at Genesis 12, 1 and 4. 1 through 4, man. Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Is it on the screen? Okay. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curse you. And in you, your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Amen. This is a divine call. Divine call on Abraham's life. Why is it a divine call? Because it came from God. When God called, it's divine. You're speaking to the one that is divine, okay? Brothers and sisters, this is very important because this was the call. Now Abraham began his journey following God's plan. Can we say it together? Let's stick to the plan. One more time. Let's stick to the plan, okay? Now, we're going over here to Hebrews. See, another really interesting thing about this is we're going to find that this goes from the beginning of the Bible over to the end of the Bible, from the New Testament back to the Old Testament. All the way through his word, there's a string that goes all the way through there, like a DNA. Like all the way through the Bible, through many different authors at many different times in our life, in our history. But they're all cohesive. Nothing but God, right? They're all cohesive. Let's look at Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. Okay. It said, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. 10. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. He's looking for a city with foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Okay? Now, these two verses, 9 and 10, in verse 9, there's two points I want to shine some light on. And the first point was who he was dwelling with in those tents. The second point is why he was dwelling with them in them tents. Okay? And then verse 10 is the last one I want to shine light on. And that was what he's waiting for when he was in the desert in the tents with Isaac and Jacob, okay? Now, A1, I'm going to say, in verse 9, you see, when Abraham started out, this is very important, when Abraham started out, the other two guys wasn't even around. They hadn't been born. But they made mention of them right up top, right? Right when they gave the promise to Abraham, they were mentioned right then. Why? Because the promise didn't just come to Abraham. It came to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, okay? And the second one is why he was dwelling. No, that's not the second one. It's why he was dwelling with them. And that is because, like I said, their promise belonged to all of them, so they had to have us in union, okay? Now, it's imperative, brothers and sisters, that you know that God you serve. We need to know the God we serve and the God that we pray to. Okay? You see, we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That God. Okay? Don't everybody worship that God. Don't everybody know what God they worship. But God can be known. He made it his business to make it known to us. Right? We need to know this, and we can know this. God had called us friends, family, his people. We're not slaves. We're not servants in a manner that we don't know what our Father's doing. He made the plan known to us, okay? Yep. Now, we can see him actually building the foundation of his church, his temple, his promised land, right in the lives of his people. Okay? And Jesus was the chief cornerstone. Chief cornerstone. You can see him using these three patriarchs. You can see him using these 12 tribes of Israel. The leaders of these 12 tribes happen to be Jacob's 12 sons. Man. And over in Genesis 35, 23 through 26, it gives you the name kind of of all of these 12 sons of Abraham. It gives you them and it gives you the different mothers that they had. You know, that, you know, because Leah and Rachel were sisters. And it's a long story there, but we'll get into it in this message. And then both of them had servants. Each one of their servants had two of the boys, too. All of them end up totaling to be 12. And it's good to know their names. Their names in order, from the oldest down to the youngest. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Joseph, Benjamin. Any sound familiar to you? How about Judah? What y'all know about Judah? Judah's praise, right? What else about Judah? Who is the lion of the tribe of Judah? That's Jesus. That's right. Y'all heard about Joseph. Joseph was Jacob's favorite son, wasn't it? Made him a coat of many colors. Why do you think Joseph was his favorite son? Anybody think they got an idea? Well, Joseph was Rachel's first child. And you're going to find out here that Jacob loved himself some Rachel. Amen? And Benjamin also was Rachel's child. And the thing about that, Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin. So these two guys were real important to him. If you remember seeing the movie about this, where they went down to Egypt, you know, to get find food down there, Jacob didn't want Benjamin to go. He said, "No," he said, "I lost my son Joseph." They had told him that a lion ate him or something, you know. But he didn't want to let Benjamin go. So Benjamin and Joseph were real close to Jacob because of they were Rachel's children. Okay. So that's why we need to know all these things, because we need to know the God. We're not worshiping any old God. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, I'm going to tell you, because you can find a lot of worldly, renowned people standing on large platforms talking about God bless America. God do this and God do that. And if you mention the name of Jesus Christ, you can see the whole demeanor change. You can see the Antichrist spirit just kind of rise right on up out of them. Right? Talking about God and don't want to hear about Jesus. What God you ringing they serving? Huh? It ain't the God that we talking about today, right? It's not the God that we worship. We know the God that we worship. Amen. See, when you get to know this, you won't listen to somebody tell you all roads lead to God. You ain't got to worry about arguing with them, you know. They can't tell me all roads lead to God. And God went through this meticulously to let us know he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. He went to great, great stakes to make that known to his people, right? That's right. We see God building this thing through the lives of his people. Right down through history, which is his story. Is that right? That's right. Means of people sticking to the plan. That's how he did it. Can we say God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? That's the God we serve. Let's say it together. We serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about the high priest for a few minutes here. Perhaps if you can put that on the screen. Now, the high priest had these priestly, precious garments that they would wear. And it was real meticulously made. And it was made out of precious materials. I'm going to stop there so I can see this for a minute, what you got. Very important. You see this high priest here? This outfit that he's wearing is priestly garments. That blue up top there is called an ephod. That patch in the middle is called Urim and Thummim, okay? You see on there, only things that got those precious colors there? There's three rows of four, or four rows of three, totaling 12. You see those precious stones? Them precious stones represent the tribes of Israel. They got them colors on there, and we find out what kind of stones they all are made out of. But they're very precious to God. And the high priest would wear that once a year for the ceremonies where he would go into the Holy of Holies and intercede for all the people of Israel. He would go in there, and it was a pretty dangerous thing. Then all of them make it out. He put a rope around the bottom of his leg when he go in, and if things went wrong or things didn't go well, they pull him out by that rope. That's pretty serious stuff, right? But God wanted all his people to be represented when they go back in the Holy of Holies. For what? For interceding for their sins for a whole year. See, back then they were using this sacrifice thing where they would kill an animal, take his blood and go back there and sprinkle it on the altar, and God will recognize that as an atonement for 1 year. Amen. That's a bloody mess. But the thing is, God was serious. See, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Right? So that went on for years until Jesus Christ came and fulfilled that. Now we don't need a high priest. Jesus is our high priest. Where he's sitting? Right there, isn't it? Yes. It's not no tabernacle here on earth. He right in the Holy of Holies. Amen. Right in heaven. Right in the holy place. A new and better thing. Precious blood. Okay? Amen. Amen. Like I say, he wanted the people to be represented during that time. All right. Point B that I said I wanted to highlight, shine some light on, that is what Abraham waited for. Now, in Hebrews 11:10, it said that he was waiting for a city whose foundations were built and made up of God. That's right? Okay. Now, let's look over here in Revelation 21, all right, back in the back of the Bible again. Revelation 21, 19 and 20. Y'all following me? We can see what God's doing. All right, 19 reads, "The foundation of the wall of the city." Of what? City. That was Abraham was looking for, wasn't it? Looking for a city. Well, and this city said, this wall was adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second foundation was sapphire. The third foundation, which was chalcedony. The fourth was emerald. The fifth was sardonyx. The sixth was sardius. The seventh, crystallite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprase. The 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. These are 12 precious stones. Each of them was a layer on the foundation. And we find out now that the 12 tribes of Israel, but Jacob's 12 sons was the head of, was actually represented in the foundation. Huh? What's the most important part of a building? Foundation, right? Remember Jesus telling his disciples that a wise man that built his home upon the rock said the wind came and the flood came, but the house stood because it was founded upon a rock, sure foundation. But the foolish man built his house on sand. He must have worshiped in the wrong God, I'd say, huh? His God his house didn't stand. Didn't stand. Sure foundation. He said you shouldn't lay no work upon any other foundation. That's right. That's right. 20 said the fifth was, Yeah, but these are the precious stones. And we know now that those stones were the 12 sons of Jacob. So God is actually building his temple, building his body, building his promised land, right on the backs and in the lives of his people. Abraham was looking for a city, and he was part of the city. That's how God do things, isn't it? Like God was telling him, said, if somebody said something about, you know, Jesus is coming, said, don't look here and don't look there. I said, the kingdom of God don't come by observation. The kingdom of God is within you. And you see him building his kingdom, you know, right in us. Now, your thing, come back and reinforce it. Come back and reinforce it. The word reinforces itself. Amen. Now, these three guys became the fathers of faith. A lot of times you go through the Bible, you hear them talking about the fathers. And that's what you're talking about, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, the character and qualification of these fathers of the faith is somewhat questionable, especially according to the Jewish law and tradition. See, God always have used broken things to work with. Nobody quite got it right. Look all down through the scriptures. Everybody had their issues. But when you come to God, he can fix those issues. It ain't how great you are, but you're still going to accomplish great things. You still can overcome great things because of your relationship with the Creator. Knowing who you're worshiping, see, knowing who you're praying to is very significant, right? Now, let's talk about these three fathers of the faith. Oh, like I said, all of them had their issues. You take Abraham. Twice he and Sarah conspired to do their own thing. They moved away from the plan of God, and they instituted their own thing. They're going to do it their own way. Twice. First, Sarah conspired with Abraham to do her own thing. And that, like, she was the instigator, okay? But both of them got their issues, okay? Now, Genesis 16, 1 through 4. Let's take a look at that. You know something, brothers and sisters? I'm going to stop right here. I'm going to continue. Because me and my, I don't know if it's nervousness or what, but I didn't pray over this word. That's wrong. You should never do this without praying over it. But this is God doing. So y'all, bear along with me. We're going to go in prayer right now. It's never too late, right? Right? So Father, we come before you right now, And I pray that you will forgive me, Lord God, for not taking care of first things first, Father God. We know, Lord God, without you, we can do nothing. Lord God, we just come in here, Lord God, in the power of your name, praying, Lord God, that you will prepare the hearts of those that would hear, open their eyes and their ears, Lord God, that they might see and hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I pray, oh Lord God, that we would just prepare our hearts now, Lord God, for good soil, that this word can go in, Lord God, that we can see what you are doing amongst us, Lord God. We can see your plans, Lord God, and follow your plans. And Lord God, see how much you loved us and what you did, Lord God, to care for us and to show us, Lord God, that we might know your plan. I pray, oh Lord God, that you just be with us for the rest of this service and forgive me, Father God. I just overlooked it. But I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. Okay? Amen. Amen. 16, 1 through 4, where we were at, right? It said, now Sarai and Abram was their name before God changed their name. When they became pregnant, Sarah became the father, and Sarah became the mother of the Christians, of God's people. And Abraham became the father. And that's why they changed their name so it was represented. So now Sarai, because this is early, and Abram, wife, had borne him no children. And she had an Ethiopian maidservant whose name was Hagar. See where she's going? So Sarai said to Abram, see now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please, go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abraham heeded her voice. She ain't got to twist his arm too much, did she? He was a willing participant. But this is Sarah, coercing Abraham to do wrong, coercing Abraham to go their own way. She was a conspirator, all right? But Abraham agreed to it. So right now they're leaving the path of God and not following his plan, okay? So then Sarah, Abraham's wife, brought Hagar to Abraham after Abraham had dwelt in the tent 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar and conceived, and when he saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despising of her. All right? That caused a big rift, because now Ishmael showed up first. And you're going to find out in Jewish tradition, and the tradition of man, the firstborn is the one that should have the primary blessing. Firstborn means a lot in Jewish tradition, okay? So now here what Sarah has set into motion. And right now, that rift is still going on. Because Ishmael thinks he's supposed to have this, and he didn't get it because Isaac was the one that promised anyway. But they don't get along, and they still ain't getting along. One of our bigger problems right now is the war between the Arab nation and the Israeli nation, right? What a mess he started, right? But it's all right. It's in God's hand. We're going to find out that God got a remedy. Okay. Now, you get down to Abraham, he conspired with Sarah. And we can find about this conspiracy in Genesis chapter 20. And that goes from 6:26 to 21:5. Now, we're not going to read all this because I may lose my audience in all this reading, right? So I'm going to tell you about a lot of it, and we're going to read a few scriptures here. All right? Should be up on the screen there. Genesis 20, verse 6. See, I'm going to tell you about it. We're going to read all this stuff. I might start with down here at 10, reading. But what happened up here before is Abraham was, when he was left home, going out for the city that God had called him to do, He traveled through different places. And at this point, he was in a place called Gerar. And Gerar was a place that Abimelech was the king there. And what Abraham feared most happened. Abimelech saw Sarah and how beautiful she was. Sarah was a pretty woman, a beautiful woman. Abimelech wanted her for his wife. So Abimelech took Sarah, and come to find out, Abimelech was a godly man. But Abraham had no way of knowing that. So anyway, the Spirit of God came to Abimelech in a dream and told him, said, "You're a dead man." That gets my attention. said, "You're a dead man. Said, you got the wife of Abraham." But see, he didn't know that. So the rest of this is talking about how God came to Abimelech in a dream and told him this. And Abimelech, man, he panicked, man. He got all his guys together and said, what can we do, you know? So he decided he was gonna give Abraham all these presents and things and try to, you know, buy his way out of this. Well, in that dream, God also told Abimelech, you know, that he had kept Abimelech from touching Sarah. So he hadn't violated Sarah. Now we can pick up down here in 10. If y'all can see it up there. So then Abimelech said to Abraham, What did you have in mind that you would have done this thing to me? And Abraham said, because I thought surely the fear of God is not in this place, and that you would kill me on account of my wife. And he said, but indeed, she is truly my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And it came to pass, and here's the conspiracy. And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house. And when did he cause him to wander from the father's house? When he first gave him the call, right? Told him, get away from your father's house, get away from your people. So this was at the very beginning, right? Said, when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, talking about Sarah, that I said to her, this is your kindness that you should do for me. In every place where we go, say of me, he is my brother. That's fear, see? Yeah. That's fear. Perfect love casts out fear, don't it? So he was doing his own thing, his own way, but he was getting off the plan of God. But let's keep on reading to see what miraculous happened out of this. Then Abimelech took sheep, oxen, male and female servants, and gave them to Abraham. And he restored Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, see, my land is before you. Dwell where it pleases you. Then to Sarah he said, behold, I have given your brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Indeed, this vindicates you before all who are with you and before everybody. Thus she was rebuked. So what he's saying is, I've shown in my error, and I'm repenting. I'm repenting. This is what Abimelech proved to be a godly man. Right? So after that, Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, his female servants. Then they bore children. For the Lord had closed up all the wounds of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. 21. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. Look what happened when he gets back to the plan. Everybody get clean. Everybody go on and do what he's supposed to do, right? And repent. Bam. That wasn't so hard, was it? Stick to the plan. Stick to the plan of God. Okay? Amen. Mm-hmm. Look at what happened after they got back on God's plan. The promised child was born, Isaac. And God is really working on this situation between Ishmael and Isaac. You're going to find out in the story here that David reconciled out on that road. And we'll cover some of that. But Jacob was, he was worried to death when he found out that Esau was coming his way. And they were about to collide. He was in torment. He was actually afraid for his life. And we'll find out why, because he was a scandal. He was something. Jacob was something, man, let me tell you. All right, moving on. But let me tell you something. God is doing something about that even today. You know, the masses now of people that's coming to Christ, that being converted, is out of the Arab folk. Yeah. They're coming, they're being converted. They're coming to Christ in great numbers. Who would have thought it? Yeah. There's a movement going on now. TBN got a satellite ministry that's in the Arab nation and in the Farsi language. You know, Farsi is the language that they speak over there. And they got this little short guy named Raza. You ever heard about Raza? You never heard of Raza? Raza got a ministry that's to the Arab-speaking people. And, man, they're coming in and getting saved, man. Really getting saved. And this is also the ministry that our own Brother Iman pursued. He pursuing the Arab-speaking people. And with great results. They're really coming. Now, only God can do that, see? You see God working behind the scenes. Yeah, they need to know that Messiah, too. See? And there's also a great Jewish coming back. You know, because the Jewish folk, the Orthodox and the Old Testament Jews, they didn't believe in Christ either. You know, Christ came to his own, and they didn't receive him. They didn't see him as Messiah, right? But they're coming by the herds now. They're coming back to their homeland, and God's doing something pretty fantastic over there. See, there's also this great Jewish ministry that's targeting them, Old Testament Jews. They got, they're coming in. They got a ministry that also called the Jewish Voice. I don't know if you heard about them, but Jonathan Burris leading. They are doing a wonderful job over there with their clinics and things, and bringing little people back to in relationship with Jesus. There's a guy called Rabbi Snyder. I don't know if you heard of him. He got a great ministry going on. So you can see God working in there, trying to heal that rift, you know, getting through that rift. Yep. All right, now we've talked about Abraham. We've talked about Isaac. Now this last guy, we're going to talk about Jacob. Yep. Jacob was a real character. You might could say he was a little rascal. Yep. But after seeing all that God did in him and through him for the nation of Israel and ultimately for all of God's people, that's us, that's including us, right? We want to be his people, right? And we want him to be our God. Amen? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jacob is very important to us. For a minute, I'm going to talk about Ishmael just for a split second here, and Isaac. Because, you know, there's a lot of folks back then and even right now kind of felt that Ishmael should have been the one that got the firstborn status, you know, the promised child. Because of Jewish law, saying the firstborn got a right to that, right? But we know through the word that we're going to see even more that that wasn't God's plan. We follow God's plan. We know the difference, okay? Yep. Now, the character of Jacob goes on here. See, this firstborn thing here was a real issue with Ishmael and Isaac. But Jacob was a twin. Complicate things a little more. It's just like Jacob. That's just like him. Jacob was a twin. And when they was born, Esau exited the body first. But Jacob was holding on to his heel. That's Jacob, man. They called him heel catcher. Yep. Let's look at Genesis 25. There's three scriptures there that kind of shine a little light on that. Genesis 25, 23 through 26, Clarence. Say, and the Lord, said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. God kind of clears it up, don't it? The older shall serve the younger. For when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. So they called him Esau. Afterward, his brother came out, and his hand was hooked around his heel. Took hold of his heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old then, okay, when he came. All right, so these guys grew up, and they grew into young men. And Esau was a rugged outdoorsman, and Jacob was kind of a mama's boy. You kind of stayed up under the mama all the time, you know. Yep. And Esau was out hunting one day. He had been hunting all day. And he came in hungry, about to starve. And Jacob tricked Esau out of his birthright for a bowl of soup. A bowl of stew. Jacob, man. Jacob, Esau, man. Let's look at that right quick in Genesis 25, 29 through 34. Clarence. 29 through 34. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field and was very weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please, feed me some of that red meat, some of that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore, his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, Sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die, man. So what is this birthright worth to me? Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew and lentils. Then he ate and drank and rose and went away, for he despised his birthright. Now, Jacob, man. Yep. So, if that wasn't enough, if that was pretty tough, now, but if that wasn't enough, he and his mother, Rebekah, tricked his father, Isaac, into pronouncing the firstborn blessing over him. Yep. So, what happened there is, Rebekah heard Isaac told Esau to go kill him one of those deer and come prepare so he could eat it and bless him. So she got Jacob to come in and cook a stew and put their hair on his arm and everything to make Isaac think that he was Esau. And Isaac ended up blessing Jacob, thinking he was blessing Esau. Yep. And you can find that in 26 through 29 of Genesis chapter 7. So that's kind of a short thing. But it was a great blessing that he pronounced on him, you know, to make his name great and everything, that all the other kids in the family would serve him, right? Now, when he got that, but an hour or so after that, Esau came in to get his blessing. And Isaac said, oh, we already gave it away. Yeah, so Esau got so mad that he swore that he was going to kill Jacob. So Jacob, go on the road again. He escaped, went down to Haran, right? Down where his uncle Laban lived. And down there, the trickster get tricked, okay? Because Jacob fell in love with Rachel. Here's Rachel coming into the picture now, right? Fell in love with Rachel and agreed to work for Laban 7 years for Rachel, hand in marriage. And he worked 7 years. And the Bible says he was was only like a few days. That's how much he loved Rachel. 7 years he worked for Rachel. And the night when they were celebrating, he drank too much wine. And Laban sent Leah in instead of Rachel into Jacob's living quarters. When he woke up next morning, it was Leah in bed with him instead of Rachel. So he got all upset and said, "Why did you trick me? Why did you do this thing? Didn't I work 7 years for Rachel?" He said, "Yeah, but she was the firstborn." Said, "Leah was the firstborn. Ain't nobody for me to give Rachel away first." So anyway, after all the dust settled, he agreed to work 7 more years to get Rachel. That's 14 years. So he did love Rachel. No question about that, right? So he worked 7 more years to get Rachel. Okay? And so And after that, he began to work for Rachel. And after his time up for working for Rachel, that's 14 years, now the subject of wages came up. Because the first 14 years, he was working to get his two wives, so he wasn't getting any pay, right? So now Abimelech realized how blessed he was to have, Jacob, thank you. Jacob working for him. Because he had increased in wealth so much. So he wanted to keep him. So he asked him, "What would the wages be?" Well, Jacob, pretty swift, man. Jacob said, "Oh, we want to talk about wages." He said, "Look how I'm blessed since I've been here." So I tell you what. See, Jacob had a dream. In his dream, he saw all these speckled male goats and spotted male goats leaping up on all the females in his dream. So he told Laban, said, "I tell you what, you take all the white, perfect goats, and I'll take all the spotted and brown goats." And Laban agreed to it. He agreed to it. So it took about a couple of years after all the ones that he had then for thousands of these animals to be born, young every year. For him to get very, very prosperous. And by that time, Laban and his sons kind of smelled the rat, And they got angry. They really got angry. So here again, Jacob took his two wives, all his boys, all his livestock, everything, and went on the road again. Yeah, he went escaping on out by cover of night. He left out by the cover of night. And on the way out there, he got word that Esau was on the way. He was scared to death, so he was to meet Esau out there, okay? Now, y'all might be thinking right now, which is, I've been having a pretty good time painting this picture of Jacob. You might say, why would God use somebody like that, right? You say, why would God use this guy, But let me tell you, God can use anybody, He really can. But listen, it could very well be, and have been, that God has showed Jacob that all these things were his from the beginning. Because, see, we got an enemy, an adversary out there that's always trying to interrupt God's plan, always trying to interfere with what God is doing, right? So God very well was taking what the enemy meant for evil and turning it around for good, And quite obviously, Jacob had a good relationship with God because God was still dealing with him. God was showing him through dreams, through visions, and warnings of what was going on. So, I'm sure Jacob had a good prayer life. Jacob was worshiping God. See, your relationship with God might not look like my relationship with God, but we got to have our relationship with God. You can't run off and hide because you're going to do something wrong and take God out of your life. That's suicidal. You got to maintain your relationship with God. And Jacob was doing that. Jacob kept a relationship going with God, okay? Yep. Jacob knew that these things were his all along. And what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it around for good. Now, you're about to come to the close of this message. And after reading these scriptures about Jacob's dreams, I think you, just like I, will come to a conclusion and be convinced that Jacob was God's man, okay? The man of God, because God used him mightily. The last scripture we're going to go to, brothers and sisters, is in Genesis 32, 24 through 28 and 31. Genesis 32. Settle this thing up here. Genesis 32, 24 through 31. 24. Then Jacob was left alone. All up here before this, all the way back to the beginning of 32, was talking about what Jacob was going through as he was going to meet his brother. He set up two different caravans of all kind of gifts and presents and everything that he was going to use to soften up Esau. And he sent them out, and you know, like a day or two apart, trying to solve his own problems. That he was worried to death. He was scared to death. And here we're down to 24. Then Jacob was left alone. See, after he had sent all his wives and everybody over, he was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he, talking about Jacob, saw that he, the spirit, the angel, did not prevail against him, talking about Jacob, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go," talking about the spirit, "let me go for the daybreak." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, "Your name will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and man and prevailed." That was the first time, ladies and gentlemen, the word Israel came into the picture. Was no Israel. First time the name Israel was heard, he changed Jacob's name to Israel. And you read through the Old Testament, you will see a many times when God was saying Jacob, and he mean the people of Israel. You'll see many times where he's saying Israel, he's talking about Jacob. That's how thoroughly he changed Jacob. You see, nobody meets God and leave the same way. Once you meet God, you leave differently, right? And then, let's look here at 31. Get on down here to 31. All right. Just as he crossed over Penuel, the sun rose on him, and he limped on his hip. He limped the rest of his life because he had met God. You could see Jacob a mile away. He said, "Here come the man of God." You could tell him, "Mile away, here come Jacob." Chained on that limp. Everybody knew that was a man of God. Man of God is in the house. He changed Jacob forever. And Jacob is our man too, right? The plan came to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen? You'll follow God's plan. And you'll see over in Revelation that everything that God is talking about that he built right on the back of his people. He built right in the lives of his people. The kingdom of God don't come with observation. The kingdom of God is within you. Amen? Amen. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention. I pray that we'll see what God is doing, and we'll be sure, we'll be confident that we're serving the God that we should be serving. Okay? Thank you again. Let's pray.